You're listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense with your host, Doug Thorpe. Here's Doug.
Hello again, everyone. This is Doug Thorpe, and you're listening to another episode of Leadership Powered by Common Sense. In today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the convergence of customer experience in this amazing digital age we're living in. My guest is a gentleman named Chris Hood. Chris has written a book on that. He's a speaker and a coach and trainer in all these areas. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so let's talk about that overarching theme. You have a position about this convergence of customer experience, which is a work unto itself in most organizations. Businesses work hard on their sales effort, their customer experience design, et cetera. But now we've got this digital environment around us. So how did you come up with the thinking of the blending of those two?
Well, if you really step back and think about it at a high level, I would beg anyone to provide me with a couple of examples of where you are trying to develop customer experience that has nothing to do with technology. Like if you just think about that at a high level, and you start to think, oh, well, maybe a mom and pop store. Well, my local donut store down the street that I go to on a regular basis, I still pay with my ATM card, right? They've got a little kiosk. I tap the card. I pay for my donuts. So even there is technology in the process. Of course, they're also using social media to advertise and get more people into the space. They're trying to create new flavors of donuts. And again, they're sharing that across social media to get people to come. So even when you think about small mom and pops, entrepreneurs, there's still a digital element to it. And when we think about the evolution of technology, just at a broad scale again, what we find is that as technology evolves, consumers' needs and desires to engage with that technology evolves as well. And we get into this interesting challenge where consumers are demanding to use a specific technology or platform or device to engage with you. And then you have to be able to keep up with that change that they have. It's not just about like, oh, hey, there's this new technology out. We should use it. The consumers are the ones who are asking to use that technology. COVID is a great example. Curbside pickup. There was a demand for curbside pickup. That wasn't because the retailers decided, hey, this is something we should be doing. They obviously did. There was a demand by consumers that said, I want to be able to do it. I still want to be able to grocery shop. I still want to be able to come and do it in some safe way. So usually what we see is that the consumer experience driven by consumer demands happen first. Businesses have to then figure out how to integrate that technology or develop digital experiences that are going to meet those ever-changing demands.
Now, when we were in the green room, I was sharing an example. Just yesterday, I pulled up to my local gas station to pump some gas, and I've got a phone app with my service provider, the gas company I stopped at. And not that I'm loyal to one, I have several, but this was convenient, and I pulled in and fired up the app on my phone that activated the pump. It was going to do the payment without me touching anything else on the pump. And of course, I had to endure a moment of promotional messaging from my gas company. But you had some additional thoughts about that experience.
Well, yeah, I think what we're also seeing is you just outlined it. You used a mobile app. And I think a lot of times when people think about that customer experience, they immediately go to, well, they've got an app in their hand, a device in their hand. Let's just build a mobile app and connect it. But that interface is also changing. How we directly connect with the businesses that we frequent for whatever reason, those interfaces are changing. So why does it have to be a mobile device in your hand? Why does it have to be an app? What if your car was connected to the gas station? What if your car knew, hey, I'm about 10 miles away from running out of gas. But hey, there's a gas station that's up here. I'm going to call ahead to the pump, schedule it that I'm on route. It's going to reserve it so you can go right on in and you don't have to worry about waiting in line. It's going to tell the pump what you need, where you have been, where you are going, some other interesting details about you. And then the pump itself is sharing promotional opportunities. And not just promotional opportunities like go into the convenience store and get a free soda, but we see that you were on your way to a trip in Utah, and here are several locations along the way. If you stop at these locations, we're going to offer you discounts and opportunities and, you know, promotions. And it doesn't even have to be directly gas station related. You're on a road trip. I'll use McDonald's. Taco Bell is in the news a lot lately. You know, yeah. There's a Taco Bell halfway through. We're going to give you a $2 coupon for Taco Bell because we know it's on your path, right? All of that data is already available. All of that data creates these experiences for you. What's so interesting is that most companies, when they think about customer experience, they are only thinking about the experience within the walls of their company. You go to the gas station, you pump your gas, you leave. That experience is done. But for you, as we just outlined, the experience is actually, I'm taking a road trip. I'm going to go to multiple gas stations. I'm going to stop off at a lot of different restaurants. I might have to go see some sites along the way. That's your experience. And I think as organizations start to think more holistically about the overarching experience that you have and different ways that they can interface with you along that journey, then we get a little bit more interesting in terms of directly building digital experiences that meet your needs.
Well, let's bring all that down a notch to the local home service business, like your friendly plumber, electrician, heating and air guy. You know, I do a lot of work with those kinds of companies, and one of the things that many of them are doing that is popular and it's effective, they have these sort of annual membership ideas. You know, pay a little bit every month and you get a block of service twice a year, or, you know, something along that line. And in most cases, that is not yet elevated. There's no magic solution on how to run that on an app or how to merge that together and make it all work. You know, what do you see in that arena?
Yeah, that is actually something that has started to materialize. I sort of look at it, believe it or not, I was consulting with a company 6 months ago or so directly on this concept. And I told them what you have to think about, or a way you could think about this, is Uber for home services. Now, if you think of the Uber app, I need to book a car. I've got to get from point A to B. So I log into the app and I do it, right? Why couldn't you do the same thing with plumbing? I need a plumber to come and fix a leak. Log into an app, find a list of plumbers that are immediately available, and you pick one and they come out. Now, you could package that as a subscription-based service, or even if you're an individual plumber and you want to offer some sort of subscription package, you could still do that in an app. You just build whatever that subscription package is, and you inform the client, hey, we've scheduled, you know, it could be anything. Like you said, it could be two visits a year. It could be a visit a month. And by the way, we've got it on the second Tuesday of every month, and here's what it is, and here's what we're going to cover. And you can change that at any time, ask questions in advance, provide photos, upload those photos if there's a challenge. And if you don't need me for this particular month, just decline, and that's fine. We'll tack it on to another time. You know, I think it becomes a little harder when you think about it from a consumer perspective of just a plumber. But if you had like plumbing, electrical, air, you know, a couple of different services. If you have a pool in your backyard, like we'll tap all those on and we'll just come and we'll do whatever type of service you need on the second Tuesday each month. And you just tell us, like, what do you need this month? You need us to check your air filters. We'll come and we'll do that, right? So those things become a convenience in the app. It creates a way that you can schedule it. It creates a way that you can pay for it. If you, you know, look, the last time I had an electrician here, they were like, I take cash, I'll take a check or Venmo. But if I could do it like in an app and feel a little bit more secure about it, great. You know, we could do that. I also do think that artificial intelligence is going to create a pivotal opportunity for those types of businesses. We talked about air filters. Well, if I haven't been to your house and I don't know what kind of air filter you have, I could, in theory, take a picture of that. I can send it to you. But we're at a stage now where the homeowner could take a picture of the air filter. The application could call ahead and place that order to Home Depot, have that air filter available for curbside pickup. The service person would come to Home Depot, pick it up, and drive right to your house and install it. Like all of that middle stuff of them coming to the house, seeing what it is, then going to Home Depot, buying it, then coming back, charging you for it. Like all of that can go away today. So I think if you think about the optimization piece of it, that's just making that experience better for everyone involved. And you can just manage it more efficiently inside the app.
You know, there are so many ways, and you touched on the advent of AI, and we've talked about it here on the show. I've had a couple of AI gurus come in and explain some things to us. But for the entrepreneur trying to plan for, steer, and create some strategic thinking about their business, what other things should they be thinking about relative to anything to do with AI and the customer experience?
Don't do it.
Okay. I like that. Tell me more.
Yeah. You know, there's kind of this interesting challenge between what we say customer experience and artificial intelligence, right? Because customer experience alludes that there is a human connection involved, and alludes that there's no human connection involved, right?
Mutually exclusive.
I'm sorry?
Mutually exclusive dynamic there. Yeah.
So look, AI can help in certain areas, but I've boiled it down to a simple question. Have your customers asked to use AI in some form or another? If the answer is no, if you do not have direct request from your consumers, just like we go back to curbside pickup. I'm asking for curbside pickup, build curbside pickup. If you have customers who are asking for AI in your products, then figure out what that is and go build it. If they're not, don't waste your time and money. Just don't do it. You have to have that customer value proposition a part of the equation. Now, you could say, I want to figure out a way to make this customer experience more efficient, or I want to reduce the amount of time I'm spending with my customer, or I want to, you know, fill in the blank. There's your value proposition. Now you could argue, well, how can AI help me do this? How can we achieve optimal performance? I'm not suggesting that you remove that human connection. That's the last thing you should be doing. But when we talk about automation and we talk about convenience, that's where it comes in. So back to the air filter example, if I can get my air filter replaced in under an hour, that's a lot better than if I have to wait for somebody to show up in 3 days and then they have to charge me for the air filter and then I'm paying by cash for this and, you know, and all of that kind of confusion and chaos we deal with. If you can remove that because of AI, great. But it still goes back to the customer is asking for this to be easier, more efficient, and safer.
Well, thank you for that refreshing answer. You know, I think it's safe to say many of the folks that have jumped on the AI bandwagon have come blazing down the road saying, you got to have it, you got to do it, you got to think about it, you're missing the boat, blah, blah, blah. But I really like the way you frame that. It's all about the ultimate value proposition. If there's no distinct, direct value created for implementing it, using it, executing with it, why bother?
Experts who are saying you've got to go with AI, one, are not experts, and two, are trying to sell you something. Here's another way to look at it. AI has been around for 50 plus years. You have all been using AI for as long as you can remember, and you probably don't even realize it yet. So the consumers have seen the benefits of AI over the last 10, 15 years, without a doubt. Anytime that you've used the Starbucks app to go order your coffee, you've used AI. You don't realize it. They're not plastering something. Recommendations powered by AI. If you use Netflix, you're using AI. They're actively promoting AI as part of your Netflix experience. AI has been around. All we are seeing today is what we call generative AI, your ChatGPTs. And if people are saying that ChatGPT is going to help you with your customer experience, they are wrong. They are not understanding exactly what AI is. All ChatGPT is, if we were to overly simplify it, is a glorified search engine. All it's doing is it's going out and getting data and bringing that data back, just as if you would have done on Google. The difference is it's optimizing it. So instead of me going and looking up a whole bunch of websites and doing the research and figuring it out, ChatGPT can do all of that for you and one command. But that's not what customer experience is, which goes back to this human connection. There's a balance that you have to think about. How much human connection do you want and how much automation do you want? And it's not all automation, because if you have all automation, you lose the human connection. And it's not all human connection, because if you do that, you're losing out on some of that optimization and convenience. But somewhere in the middle, there's an intersection. And if you can figure that out, that's the approach you should take. And again, as we talked about, there should be a customer value proposition as part of it.
So to flip the script a little bit, speaking about the customer side of customer experience, in all your work and travels, Chris, are you seeing any trends or shifts in the mindset of the consumer, other than the obvious, like pick up at the curb and that kind of thing? But I mean, I'm talking about maybe what I'll call core thinking about what I need as a consumer.
Well, what we are seeing broadly from the consumer perspective, and the beauty of this is you are a consumer, I'm a consumer, everybody listening is a consumer. We all have our own experiences as consumers. But because of digital technologies, we are becoming more aware, more demanding, more expecting, right? These subtle shifts in our access through technology are creating this unique challenge for companies. For example, if you go to Amazon, you could order something and you potentially could get it the same day. I could order something and it can arrive today. If nothing else, next day, tomorrow. As a result, there is a demand. There is an expectation that if I order from anybody else in the entire world, I expect that that product should show up tomorrow. So if I go and I order something from a local retailer and they say, look, it's going to get there in 3 or 4 days, we go crazy. We're like, what? What do you mean 3 or 4 days? Right. Forget it. I'm going to go and find it on Amazon. So there's this expectation that we are now in because of technology. Same thing with social media. We believe that we should be able to get instant results or instant feedback from the company if I complain loud enough. And I can go onto social media and complain about my bad experience, and they're just going to do something because they don't want all of that bad publicity on social media. And part of that is true. Social media has opened a can of worms, per se, for support and challenges around poor experiences. We very rarely see positive experiences on social media. It's always a negative experience, and definitely reviews. So this demand and these expectations are all being driven by how businesses adopt to these technologies. We know that the technology can do something. We go to a company and we try to use that technology. When it doesn't happen, we have an issue with it. Really, there's no difference between like an ATM and cash. if you were to go to a grocery store today and put up a bunch of groceries on the conveyor belt and then they say, oh, sorry, we don't take debit cards. We only take cash. Most people today would probably leave the groceries right there, leave, and then go to another grocery store because we don't have cash on us. So I think a lot of people have to really wrap our heads around what these expectations are and then be able to ensure that we are delivering according to what they are.
Yeah. And it is interesting, and I'm going to go back to my scenario of the home service business. So many of the client companies I've worked with, what they are actually doing, the very successful ones, they have focused on what you might call a really old-fashioned customer experience. And starting with things like, okay, I'm a plumber. I've got an appointment to come to your house and fix a pipe. Well, I show up at the door, I got two options. I can either be trashed out from the last job I was on because I was down in the muck and mud and water doing things, or I can have a clean uniform on when I show up at your house. Doesn't matter what I've done all day long, but if I show up at your house, if I've got a reasonably clean uniform, then immediately you're going to feel different about letting me in your house, right? So that's a subtle starter. And a lot of these techs now, they put the little slip-on booties on their shoes and boots to protect carpets, rugs, and floors. Good courtesy, common courtesy, not a big thing to do. And then they bring protective coatings, drop cloths, mats, rags, rugs, and things like that to place in the work areas so that the flooring and baseboards aren't messed up. And then when they are done, they actually clean the area. Even though they did it on the mat, they carefully fold that up, look for any spill, you know, and just that little attention to detail, because guess what? It's your house we're working in, not my house. It's your house. And it is that subtlety of care that makes the homeowner feel like, well, this company cares about my house. I've invited them into my house to do work for me, but yet they care not just about my problem, but everything else in my house.
Absolutely. And I've seen that with movers who come in and they are very meticulous about wrapping and caring for whatever they're moving. I had my backyard and front yard completely redone, and I hired a contractor to come and do it. The team, there is, on any given day, there is 3 to 5, sometimes 6 people who would come and work in the yard. And every single one of them had a company t-shirt or, a company polo shirt, branded logo. They all looked professional, you know, and they were courteous along the way. Yeah, we enjoy that. We like that because we feel like, you know, there's a certain level of respect. There's open communication. You know, anytime that's not there, yeah, it mounts up. The little things mount up to create those bad experiences.
Well, and it accrues to the whole idea, and it could be subtle messaging, but it's a kind of attention to detail. So you figure, And I know some are going to argue, well, that's easily done as an eyewash exercise, but no, it's really attention to detail. And usually the companies that are having their technicians and workers do that are likewise training them about the real technical aspects of the work they're doing, paying attention to the real detail, you know, put a fitting on properly. Don't just slop it on there. You know, you can clean it up, prep it properly, et cetera. And you just have that inference of good attention to detail usually means good, reliable work.
It also usually means that you're going to get a positive review and you most likely are going to either get a recommendation or a repeat call.
Right.
Because that attention to detail, it's one thing to say, yeah, they came in and they did the job and it was fixed. It's another thing to say, yeah, they came in, they did the job and it was fixed. And while they were there, they laid down this paper and they taped off this section and it was incredible how much other things they did. Like those are the things that we usually remember. You know, it's easy to, well, it got fixed. But when you do those extra things, those are the things that people will remember.
Right. Well, and I've talked to one particular owner who said that he's done a study on his callbacks. You know, the situation where send a tech out, they try to work on it, and then a day or two later, the customer calls back and says, not quite fixed. When the experience was done with all that care and trepidation and extra effort, the nature of the callback is totally different, his study concluded. The nature of the callback was, gee, you know, George came out and he worked really hard. I know he tried, but yeah, I'm sorry, this thing is still leaking. I still need some help with it. Can you come look at it again? Versus if George had been sloppy and haphazard, made a mess, they would have said, send me somebody else. It's not working. I don't want George back. You know, you owe me money, et cetera, et cetera. Totally different tone in the callback.
There's a, you mentioned, you know, getting cleaned up and before coming in. There's actually a plumbing service that is out here in California, in Southern California, called Mike Diamond. And their tagline is the smell good plumber. And they have a whole series of commercials that they run where the client, the homeowner, actually goes up and sniffs the plumber, right? And it's like, oh, you smell great. But their entire marketing and differentiation is on what you're talking about. It's that when we come to the door, we're going to not only do the work, but we're going to smell good doing it. And I think it's a fabulous way to kind of think about this, because as we've been talking about, the entire experience is not just the moment they walk in the door, you know, and fix something. There's the call ahead of time. There's the scheduling. There's the service, the delivery, the follow-up, the reviews, all of those things you should come in, you know, to think about. And the more you can attention to detail, do that, then I think the better the overall experience is going to be.
So, Chris, let's shift gears just a minute. Let's think about the business owner or the company that has entered into an area where they're, by ratings, reviews, reputation, whatever, it's not what the owner really wants. How does an owner begin the process of turning the tide, going a new direction for creating a better experience?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the starting point is you're going to have to start listening to your customers, which means you're going to have to start talking to them and asking them questions. So follow-up questions: what did you like? What didn't you like? What did we do well? What could we have improved upon? How were our prices? How were our delivery times? How were the maintenance people that came in? How, you know, all of these types of questions will start to give you an understanding of the experience and what people are thinking of you. And you can start slow. So if somebody says, you know, the booking and scheduling was easy and convenient, but it took forever for somebody to show up. You promised me a specific time. You didn't actually get there for whatever reason. That's a good place to start. Start figuring out, like, what is my scheduling? Can I build in buffers so that if somebody runs over in the previous job, I'm not late to the next job? How can I be more accurate in terms of this, not only the scheduling, but communicating to the client, what's the expectations around that schedule? Like, all of those things you can start to improve upon and then move to the next thing. If they say, you know, your prices are just too much, and maybe it's not even your prices, maybe it's something like, this is the one thing that I hate the most in terms of home maintenance is, well, it depends. Well, I'm going to have to get out there and I'm going to have to look at it and figure it out, right? I think we're at the age where, especially if you have professionals, you will be able to say, well, if it's a clogged drain, I know roughly what that is and I know roughly what it's going to cost. There's not going to be any hidden costs. There's not going to be any extra things. Now, granted, if we get out there and we do find that there's something drastically wrong, we can talk about it at that point in time. But too often, the pricing and the schema for what we quote people is all around this, well, it just depends. I think the more honest, authentic, upfront that you can get with that pricing, you think about, And then you move on to the next problem that customer has. And in this process, you are still polling your customers. You are continuously going back and saying, okay, we've adjusted our scheduling practice. Ask again, how do you think the scheduling is? And if they say yes, and you see that start going up, then you're like, okay, I think we're good there. Let's move on. Let's start looking at the other areas of the business. And it's not just in home maintenance. This is the case for any business. Ask a series of questions directly to your customers. Figure out what's working, figure out what's not working, and then make those subtle iterations within your organization to solve whatever problems that customers are having.
Yeah. I like that. And again, kind of centering on home services, I know one plumbing company who has opted for most of the standard stuff that goes on in your typical residential installation. They've got just some standard pricing. You want me to swap out a toilet? You're going to have to pay for the toilet. That can flex depending on what you choose. But the installation part, flat fee, doesn't matter how long I'm there. It's a flat fee, and they've figured out that in the scope of their business, some are high and some are low, but it all comes out and lands on the margin they want to achieve as a profitable business. So they don't nitpick job by job.
This goes back to the Uber example. Uber, you log in, I need a ride from here to here, here's the price. Now, what's also interesting in Uber is they're adjusting that price based on time of day, traffic patterns, but you could do the exact same thing. It's like, oh, you need to replace a toilet? Great. If we schedule this tomorrow, it will cost you this, but if it's an emergency and I need to be there in an hour, it's going to cost you this.
Right.
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 And here's a selection of toilets that I already have available. Here's a price on 1, 2, and 3. You pick the one you want, or if you want to have your own, order it. I'll go pick it up for you, right, at Home Depot and bring it with me to the job. Like, all of that stuff can be accomplished inside of an app, but you have to think about it. And I tell people this a lot as well. Because Uber is such a great example, and I think a lot of people are familiar with Uber, Uber is outside of the home services industry. Think about how other industries are doing it. Think about how, you know, if you're in healthcare, as an example, go to like the media and entertainment companies and see how they're doing it and try to see if there's something you can do there that will work within healthcare. And I think you probably could find some things. In this case, we're talking about home improvement, you know, home services. Well, go outside of your industry, go to Uber, and you'll find that there's a solution there that can work for you. So you've got to explore beyond your boundaries, beyond your own industry for those types of digital solutions.
Classic think outside the box.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I tell you what, we're about up on time. Thank you so much for sitting in. Tell folks the best way to get a hold of you if they're interested in knowing more.
Absolutely. The best way to get in touch with me is on my website, chrishood.com. chrishood.com. And there you can find my blog, my podcast, videos, ways for you to engage with me, my social media. Everything is right there, chrishood.com.
Very good. Well, one last time, Chris, thank you so much for sitting in. Really helpful, and appreciate your knowledge and wisdom. And I love the contrarian attitude about AI and small business. I think there's a key challenge there. So pay attention, folks. So with that, guys, we're going to sign off, say goodbye. I do want to remind you, we've got a video version of this over on YouTube, channel by the same name. Hop over there, Leadership Powered by Common Sense. Check out our archive. Let me know if you've got an idea or a guest suggestion for another show down the road. We'd love to hear from you. Go out there, make it a great day.
You've been listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense, hosted by Doug Thorpe. If you would like to know more about the coaching and advisory services he provides, visit DougThorpe.com.